from sketch by Betty Hill. Dash V, underscore semicolon underscore. Slash slash, figures at control panel figure that grinned leader UFO as seen by Barney Hill showing figures, fins, and red lights. From sketch by Barney Hill. 1, L. Dot, sketch by Barney Hill, drawn after the therapy had released. Backslash etler repressed material, of his recollection of the actual site of the post-Jibble abduction. Dots represent his recollection of the men in the road. Round object in clearing is his recollection of the approximate position of the object. Barney Hill, under hypnosis, drew the above sketch of the leader of the alleged abductors. Later, while he was listening to the tape recording of his own account of the incident, he seemed to go into a trance-like state, and drew the more finished sketch below. The eyes were elongated, he said, and the lips appeared to have no muscles. Middle dot middle dot dash, dot. Zero, dot, slash, slash, C. Under hypnosis, Betty Hill described a map she was shown by the leader aboard the ship. Later, she sketched it. She said she was told that the heavy lines marked regular trade routes, and the broken lines recorded various space expeditions. The following year, the map seen below was published in the New York Times. Note the caption. SCHTM.L.O. Alpha TZ, Algem B, E, Ho, E, Pound MF, Middle dot P. Comma, DBN dot dot W York Tim from Deep, C, NDLN 1RN, April 13th, 66 Radio M, called CTA 102 Pevu U, Rulan May. Milona, in space, of radio. D. L. Elftlan, Kunatelatlan, L. N. W. L. 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 R. N. T. T. Dot. Dot. U. Exclamation mark greater than, hash, dot. I, less than pound dot, exclamation mark colon dot backslash L. Z. 1 colon dot dot 3, dot O, equals 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 equals, dot T, underscore underscore 3 underscore, Mrs. Hill. Struck by the similarity between the Times map and her sketch, then added the corresponding names. Sketch by Barney Hill, drawn farther writer 4 years after incident, in an attempt TV reconstruct his impression of the craft. Hypnosis sessions penetrating the amnesic period lulled to bring out more memories after the formal therapy end middle dot is concluded. Dr. Benjamin. 1 Sim 0. 1. Barney and Betty Hill with their dachshund, Delcy, who was with them on their interrupted journey. Dot, REBE 02040, M, A, N, E, L T R Storam Talcolt Bro, F. 10:05 p.m., Ferrisel sighting Dalunk. Utre, Timt Unklain, Abdklpots BTHLNDC on me. FTTR continuous man UTRLNQ BAM Waluv's car, Gats out on. Idled with binocule. RS, first BTTPLNG occurs the, OTS FFO lost towers, 567. Possible turn off ON pool to abduct 10 ent sunst can BTTPLNG HTRT, site not CT. MLA, NJ. A war in SS, sign RTLLDLNG Concord I1 MLUFLO 12L earns at left port that Debris slash 4 underscore. BTG1N1 to Arfern, I, RI, Root Kanhihani Ankletia slash slash on the night of SCLT. 19, 1961. Betty, dot. We came by the tramway at Cannon Mountain, and there's a lighted area on the top. I think the lights might have been from a restaurant. And as I was watching, the lights went out. There are many reports of electrical disturbances by UFOs, including lights. Auto-ignition, headlights, radio and television. I don't know if it went down in the valley between the two mountains, or if it turned its lights off. And this puzzled me, because I kept looking for it. And then I thought, well maybe they're going away, they aren't interested in us. But then we came out by Old Man of the Mountain, and there it was. But it looked almost as if it were bouncing along the top of the mountain, the ridge. And it would go down a little bit on the other side, and I would lose sight of it. And I kept wondering why they were following us. And I would figure that, I was wondering if they were as curious about me as I was about them. Doctor, you speak of they?
Betty, I mean, well, I figured there must be somebody inside of the object, you know, someone directing its flight. And so, whoever was inside, this is they.
I was very curious, and I had the feeling that someone might be there, and they saw us. In a way, it was all very intriguing. And I didn't know what was going to happen, but I wasn't afraid. I was just curious. And I just had a feeling that something is going to happen, and I don't know what it is. And I hope I won't be too afraid when it does happen. And so we kept riding along, and we stopped at one place. There were too many trees, we lost sight of it there. When we got to the flume, Barney drove in on the parking area on the right-hand side. And we stopped there and tried to really get a good look at it again. But there were too many trees there, too. But we would go along and there would be areas where we could get, it would be fairly clear. And then we went past the flume, somewhere between the flume and Indian Head, or it was just beyond the flume, or just beyond Indian Head, there was a motel. It was like cabins, these small, neat-looking cabins, and the sign itself wasn't lighted, but there was one cottage on the end that had a light on. And there was a man standing in the door. And I saw this, and I thought, if I want to, I can get out of this whole situation 147 right now. All we have to do is drive in here, and this object will go away. And that will be the end of it. I mean, this is our escape from it, if I want this. And I was thinking this, and I didn't say anything to Barney, I didn't say anything. All I could think of was, I don't know where we're going, but I'm ready for it. And Barney was sort of irritating me, because he wanted to, his whole attitude was that I was trying to wish something on him. I got the impression that he was trying to deny what was actually happening. That he didn't want to know that it was there, even though he would stop and look at it. He didn't have any realization of what was going on. Now it was fairly close, and I could see that it wasn't spinning, because I could see that there were lights on one side, and this gave it a blinking and twinkling effect. But then all of a sudden, it stopped doing this. And I got the idea that there were lights only on one side. And then all of a sudden, the object shot ahead of us and swung around in front of the car. Well, I was watching it when it did this. And it was on my side of the windshield, directly in front of me. And I looked at it through the binoculars, and I could see a double row of windows. And then, as I was watching it, I was thinking this side has the windows and the back of it must be dark. And this is why it twinkles. And while I'm sitting there, I'm amazed by all this. Then all of a sudden on one side, on the left-hand side, a red light came out. And then on the right-hand side, a light came out. Doctor, you say left and right-hand side?
Betty, I was facing the object.
Doctor, you're looking through the windshield?
Betty, I was looking through the windshield, right up at it.
Doctor, how far away would you say it was?
Betty, oh, I couldn't estimate. You couldn't seconds it too clearly without their binoculars.
I could seconds a band of light without them. And when I saw us, the second red light, I kept telling Barney to stop.
Stop the car, Barney, and look at it.
And he kept saying, oh, why it's nothing. It'll go away. And I kept saying, Barney, you've got to stop.
Stop the car, Barney, and look at it.
It's amazing. And he said, oh, he was going to humor me then, so he said, oh, all right. Give me the binoculars. And he looked at it, and I kept saying, do you see it? Do you see it? And he said, it's just a plane or something. And I kept saying, okay, it's a plane. Did you ever see a plane with two red lights? I thought planes had one red and one green light. And he kept looking at it, and then he gave the binoculars back to me, and I'd watch it. And then he said he couldn't see very well. He opened the car door no first. He put down the window in his car door, and he tried to stick his head out and look up over the roof of the car at it.
Betty's voice has become increasingly animated now, but still quite matter of fact.
But the motor of the car was running, and he said, well, he got out.
He opened the car door and stepped out. He put one foot on the highway, and one was inside the car. And he was standing with the car door open, but he was leaning against the body of the car. He kept looking at it, and then he didn't say anything. He just stepped outside. And he stepped outside, and he kept going away from the car. And I thought, well now, this isn't a very bright place for us to have stopped the car, because we're right on the main highway. We're not on the right side or the left side. We're right directly in the middle. And there should be traffic on the highway. So I thought, well, while he's out getting a good look at this, I'll watch if any cars come in either direction, in case I have to get the car out from the middle of the street. So I'd look out the back window and out the front window. And it seems as though I sat there and waiting and waiting and Barney didn't come back. And I was sitting there waiting. And I'd look. It was dark there. There weren't any street lights or anything. I noticed when I looked out, he was quite a distance from the car, and he was still going away from the car. Now, for the first time, emotion begins to come into Betty's voice. Oddly enough, it occurs at just about the same time and place that Barney's intense emotional outburst occurred. So I leaned over the front seat, and here I was saying, Barney, come back. 149, now her voice breaks in emotion. She begins to sob as she speaks. Barney, you damn fool, get back here. Barney, come back. She is reliving the incident now, calling directly to Barney, rather than describing it. If that damn fool doesn't come back, I'm going after him. Barney, what's wrong with you? Her profanity is more affectionate than condemnatory. The LL of their bickering is rather congenial. And I'm calling, Barney. 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 Get back here. What's wrong with you? Now back to description, but still breathless. One started to slide. I was going to get out his side of the car because that door was open all the way. I started to slide across the seat, because I was going to go out and get him. Just as I started to slide, and I got the door most of the way open, he came to the car. He was running like mad down the street. A New Hampshire colloquialism for road. And when I heard him coming, I sat up. I was lucky I did, afterwards. Because he threw the binoculars beside me. He was hysterical. In the car, and they landed on the seat, and now she almost is. He was. One don't know if he was laughing or sighing. But he was saying that they were going to capture us. We had to get the hell out of there. They were going to capture us. Because the car motor was running. He put the car into first, and he stepped on the gas. And we started to take off very rapidly. He kept saying to me, look out. Look out. You can seconds them. They're right overhead. They're right directly over our car. Again and one was sort of afraid, but I wasn't that afraid. And so, we were moving, we were going quite fast then. And so I wound down, I turned down the window on my side of the car, and I tried to put my body out through the window and look out. And I kept looking and looking, and I couldn't seconds them. And so, I did want to seconds them, I couldn't see the light. I couldn't even see the sky. I couldn't see anything. And so I told Barney, I don't think they're out there. I don't see anything. It's all black. I don't see them. So then I pulled my head in, and I wound up the window of the car. And I thought, well, maybe they're out the back, because I kept looking for the lights. And I looked out the back window, and I didn't see anything. And there, all of a sudden, there was this, beep, 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 beep. And Barney said, what's that? What's that? What's that noise? I said, I don't know. All I could think of, is some kind of electrical signal. You know, beep, 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 beep. Now she is rather matter of fact in her tone, analyzing what this might possibly be all about. I wondered, oh, darn. Why didn't I learn the Morse code? Cause maybe this is the Morse code, and I don't know it. Then I thought, maybe, it's electrical. Maybe it's a shock. So I put my hand on the metal of the car, and I kept feeling and feeling, and I didn't feel a shock, no kind of electrical shock. But the whole car was vibrating. You know, little vibrating. And I thought, well, that's funny. Whether there was no well, I don't know. There was a beeping, and there wasn't any electrical shock. What happened next? The sharpness of detail, of minutiae, leaves her, at the same point in time and location as with Barney. She continues to speak, but in puzzlement, as if she is probing, searching for a lost memory. We're riding along. And I kept waiting for Barney to tell me about what he saw on the highway. She stops talking. Her groping at this point is unavailing. Doctor, after waiting a considerable length of time, how long would you say he was away from you when he was on the highway? Actually, how long was it? Betty, oh, it seemed a long time. Doctor, well, how long was it? 151, Betty, I don't know. I would say, for some reason I don't know why, I would say 4 or 5 minutes. Doctor, 4 or 5 minutes. Betty, yes. I don't remember looking at my watch, and it was dark anyway. And I heard the beeping sound. Doctor, did you see this object anymore? Betty, I kept trying to see it. Every once in a while, I would look out the window for it, but my mind's a blank. Another pause. She is groping. But I can almost remember. Doctor, yes, you can. Betty, she is obviously straining to remember. Right at this point, I can't get beyond that beeping. Nor could Barney, at this point. Doctor, you can. It's all right now. You can get beyond it. Now a very long pause. Betty is breathing heavily, but she makes no other sound. X, go on. It's all right. Now Betty begins to cry, in short, rapid sobs, as if she were trying to hold herself back. All right. You needn't be too upset. J.S. 2, Betty, another long pause. Then she draws a sharp breath, as if she has made a forced resolution in her mind. She speaks very rapidly, breathlessly, as if she doesn't want to say this. We're driving along. I don't know where we are. I don't even know how we got here. Barney and I, we were driving, I don't know how long. I don't know how long. The words come out between sharp, short sobs. And we haven't even been talking. I've just been sitting here, feeling that something is going to happen. And I'm not really too afraid. Except right now I am. At the time I didn't feel afraid. She stops talking, then cries. Doctor, after a long pause. Why are you crying if you're not afraid? Betty, I'm afraid now. But I wasn't. I wasn't afraid. I was afraid when I saw the men in the road. Doctor, men in the road? Betty, now she breaks out with an anguished cry. I've never been so afraid in my life before. Doctor, very calmly. Tell me about the men in the road. It's all right now. Betty, she begins to say something, but she is sobbing too much to get it out. Doctor, you're safe here. Tell me about the men in the road. 153, Betty, her voice is trembling, her breath rapid. We're driving along. We're on a tarred road. And all of a sudden, without any warning or rhyme or reason or anything, Barney Mayday, he always the brakes squealed, be stopped so suddenly. And made this sharp left-hand turn off the highway. And we went on to this narrow road. I was wondering what he was doing to turn down here. He wasn't saying anything, and I wasn't either. So I figured, well, maybe we're lost. But so what, we'll come out somewhere. She is still having difficulty in speaking. And we're going along. And there was a sharp curve. There were trees. There were a lot of tall trees on my side. Barney's side of the road. I don't know about, again, the desire for complete accuracy in reporting. But there were these men standing in the highway. And I wasn't too afraid when I saw them. They were standing there, and I thought, well, you know, they weren't so awful. There was, oh, I don't know. And they were just. I wasn't too afraid when I saw them. And they were just. Couldn't get a good look at them. She reflects a moment, then, but then I thought, well, they in a car? A car broken down? What are they doing here? And Biani of course had to stop. And then he stopped the car, and these men started to come up to the car. They separate D. They came in two groups. And when they started to do that, I got real scared. And the car motor died. The car stalled. And then they started to come toward us. A brief pause, then, and when they started to do that, I got real scared. And the car motor died, the car stalled. And when they started to come up to us, Barney tried to start the car. And you know how a motor of the car will turn over, and it won't fire? He couldn't start the car. He couldn't start their car. She bursts into tears again. The last words are muffled. Is I, doctor, he did what? Betty, he tried to start the car, and it won't start. And the men are coming toward us. And I thought, well, I can get away from them if I get the car door open. I can run in the woods and hide. And I'm thinking of that, and I, just, put my hand on the car door to open it, and there, men come up, and they open it for me. She sobs profusely. And they open the car door. And this man, two men behind us, and, .. her words are again muffled by her crying. Doctor, I didn't hear that. Betty, trying to get herself under control. Two men at the car door. And there's one, two, three men. And there's one, two more behind them. And one man puts his hand out. She stops again. Doctor, go on. Betty, a long pause of deep breathing. I don't know what happens. Doctor, you can remember everything now. What do these men look like? Did you see their faces? Betty, number doctor, how were they dressed? 155, Betty, alike. Somehow or other. More sobbing, a little more controlled. Doctor, do they have a uniform, or ordinary clothes? Betty, more like a uniform. Doctor, a uniform. Did it resemble any uniform you already know? Betty, I couldn't say, and she lapses into silence again. Doctor. He waits a considerable length of time. Then, all right, your memory is very sharp. You needn't be worried. You remember everything now. Tell me what happened. Another long pause. What are you thinking now? Betty, imthinkingmasleep. Doctor, you're asleep, the car? Betty, this is the same point at which Jamie Baramg and Diffuse. When he felt he was floating about. When he saw THE's. I'm thinking asleep, I'm asleep, and I've got to wake you want to be asleep. I keep trying. L got to wake myself and up. I go back again. I keep trying. I keep trying to wake, long pause, then, JS6, then I do. I open my eyes. And I'm walking through the woods. And I just open my eyes quick, and I shut them again. She begins sobbing intensely. But even though I'm asleep, I'm walking. And there's this man on this side, and a man on this side. And there's two men in front of me. And I look all around. And it's a path. And there's trees. More words come out, but the sobbing completely obscures them. I look at these men. And I turn around. Barney's behind me. She stops short again. Doctor, Barney's behind you? Betty, there's a couple of men behind me, and then there's Barney. There's a man on each side of him and my eyes are open. But Barney's still asleep. He's walking, and he's asleep. She is still sobbing, but then gets under control. And then, I begin to get mad. And I say to myself, who the heck are I say, Barney? Wake up. Barney. Why don't you wake? I turn around, and I say his name again, Barney. These characters, and what do they think they're doing? And I turn around, and up. And he doesn't pay any attention. He keeps walking, and going a little bit further, and wake up. And he still doesn't pay any attention. And then the man walking beside me here says, oh, is his name Barney? And that's where I looked at this man, and I figured it's none of his business. So I didn't speak to him. Then he keep walking, and I try to wake Barney up. Again. I keep saying, Barney, Barney, wake up. And he doesn't, so the man asks me again, is Barney his name? And I wouldn't answer him, so he says, he said, don't be afraid. You don't have any reason to be afraid. We're not going to harm you, but we just want to do some tests. When the tests are over with, we'll take you and Barney back and put you in your car. You'll be on your way back home in no time. I mean, he was sort of reassuring in a way, but I can't say I trust what, 157, he said. And I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And we kept walking and walking, and Barney was still asleep. Althoff, she has her sobs under control, they are still punctuating all this. Doctor, you mean he was walking in his sleep? B-E-T-T-Y, yes, he was like sleepwalking. Doctor, these men spoke good English? B-E-T-T-Y, only you, one spoke, the one who was on my left. Then, he was more or less, dot. H-E had an accent. He had sort of a foreign accent. But he was, no, very businesslike. So then we kept walking, and we came to a clearing. And there was one wish it were lighter so I could get a better picture of it. There was a ramp to the door. The object was on the ground. She pauses. Doctor, the object was on the ground? B-T-T-Y, very matter-of-factly now. I was watching G in the sky. And T-H-R were and T-H-E-R-E-T-A-K-N-G me U-P-T-O the object. I do N-T want T-O-G-O-N-I-T. I don't want. L don't know what's going to H a peep and if one do. L don't want to go. B A R N S no protection. He's sounder S L E F and I don't want to go on it. Trees and a P at H and there was this clearing, apostrophe. I think it was the same one, Doctor. H E sound asleep. What was he, doing? W L K N G, along, or, was some, body supporting him? A-G-T-T-Y, yes. T-H-E-R-E-S apostrophe, of, dot. We L-L, a man on his sort of, each, side. One has each, dot. His eyes, R-M, and their sort are shut. And he doesn't H-E-R-A-N-Y, 158, thing I say. But he's standing on his own 2 feet. But he's in a daze, and they're sort of directing him, helping him along. And he's quite a bit taller than the men. Doctor, he's taller than the men? Betty, yes. Yes, he's way above them. So when we get to the object, I don't want to go on. And so the man beside me says to go on. He's a little angry with me. He said, oh, go on. The longer you fool around out here, the longer it's going to take. You might as well go on and get it over with, and get back to your car. We haven't got much time, either. So he, and one of the others, each take my arm, and I get sort of a helpless feeling. There's not much I can do at this point, but to go on with them. I go up the ramp, I go inside, and there's a corridor to the left. We go up the corridor, and there's a room. And they stop to take me in the room. She is calmer now, much calmer. I'm standing in the doorway, and I turn around, and I'm waiting for them to bring Barney in. But they don't do this. They lead Barney right past the door where I'm standing. So I said, what are you doing with Barney? Bring him in here where I am. And the man said, no, we only have equipment enough in one room to do one person at a time. And, if we took you both in the same room, it would take too long. So Barney will be all right, they're going to take him into the next room. And then as soon as we get through testing the both of you, then you will go back to your car. You don't have to be afraid. And so I watched them take Barney into the next room, and I go into this room. And some of the men come in the room with this man who speaks English.